Listen to God's word as it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Listen for God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, yet there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of love, indeed, we come before you seeking to draw closer to you, to hear your word to us now, to be strengthened by your Spirit for our life together. We ask that you open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes the best teachers in life are full of surprises, aren't they? Sure, we've all been subject to the occasional pop quiz, and it's not quite that sort of surprise to which I'm referring. I'm speaking more of a surprise that is life-changing, a surprise that touches our hearts and our minds and calls us into a new way of living. Movies like to feature these kind of teachers. From Maria von Trapp in The Sound of Music to Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. These shows demonstrate how teachers can open new worlds to their students when teaching about life through the lens of music or poetry. In Sidney Poitier's 1967 classic, To Sir with Love, his students are surprised by his teaching in a matter that affirms them as young men and women ready to step forward into the world as adults. They are surprised that he is willing to answer their questions with candor and honesty. They are surprised by his challenge to them to overcome the barriers of race and class and gender in their lives. They are surprised when he exposes them to new worlds beyond the realm of their small school or their local neighborhood. His unconventional but life-affirming lessons changed the lives of his students and prepared them to be men and women ready to face the world. We might recall these kind of teachers in our own lives. I recall with fondness a college professor who at any given moment would jump in one fell swoop onto the top of the tables in our seminar classroom and continue his lecture without missing a beat. It was not only these tactics that caught us to take notice of his words and of his actions, but indeed it was the lessons he taught that taught each one of us as young 20-somethings that we could make the world a better place. We strove to do that in community together because of his inspiration in our lives. In our scripture story for today, Jesus, the great teacher, is full of surprises himself, isn't he? Immediately in Luke's gospel, after preaching the parable of the Good Samaritan, immediately after showing his disciples the importance of true discipleship as love enacted, Jesus seems to turn the tables and criticize the one in his midst who showed just such hospitality, who demonstrated just such service, who seemed to embody that work is love made visible. At the onset of our story, Martha is busily engaging in all of the appropriate preparations for her guest of honor. taking pains to extend to Jesus and those traveling with him a full measure of hospitality. And justifiably so, she becomes frustrated when she is left alone in the kitchen. We all would feel like Martha in just such a situation, wouldn't we? She is frustrated when her sister chooses to sit at Jesus' feet rather than lend a hand and show her guest some honor. Yet when Martha turns to Jesus to have her claims backed up, asking him to encourage her sister to help out in the kitchen, she is surprised by his response. For rather than encouraging her to pitch in and help out, he applauds Mary's choice to sit at his feet, to listen to his word, rather than take her rightful place alongside her sister in the kitchen. It's surprising to see Jesus demonstrate such bad manners, isn't it? To insult a woman who so graciously met his needs, to emphasize the one listening rather than the one serving, so quickly after he just taught his very disciples this path. Martha is the epitome of hospitality. She's the embodiment of the type of household to which Jesus sends the 72 disciples earlier in this gospel. She embodies the type of household upon which God's peace will rest for their gracious receipt, not only of God's disciples, but of the good news of the gospel. Hers is the kind of home that invites the kingdom of God into their midst through the welcome of her deeds, through her love made visible. Now, Jesus' behavior is surprising, not just to us in our contemporary context for these reasons, but also in the time of this writing. But his first surprising act is to be received as a guest in a woman's home. In the context of Jesus' day, men were only received into households headed by other men. Now, while John introduces Lazarus into the home of Mary and Martha, Luke does not do so. Luke tells us that this is Martha's household. She is the head of this home, and she lives here with her sister Mary. So Luke, leaving Lazarus out of the story, identifies Martha in this place of honor and surprises us by welcoming Jesus into the home of women. The second surprise that Jesus has in store is another surprise of welcome, for he welcomes Mary as his disciple. The posture that Mary assumes in this text, the posture of sitting at the feet of Jesus, was one reserved for men of that day. Yet Jesus creates the space for Mary, for a woman to be counted among the disciples, to hear his teaching and to follow his word. One commentator writes this, that Jesus is defending Mary's right to become his disciple and to continue her theological studies. The traditional cultural separation between men and women no longer applies. So just as the Good Samaritan demonstrates true discipleship through acts of kindness, Mary demonstrates true discipleship through the hearing of God's word. In both of these stories, the least and the likely, the outcast in the society, is the one who is welcomed into God's call of disciples. Mary is welcomed into this inner circle of Christ's chosen. Here in this story, barriers of gender, just as barriers of race, were broken down through Christ's teaching. These insights are encouraging, but we are still surprised at Jesus' response to Martha. Commentators suggest that it is important to look at this text not on its own, but as a companion piece with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The text that we heard Randy read and preach last Sunday shares this parable for us. For Jesus was asked by a rich young man what he must do to inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus teaches that hearing without doing is meaningless. That following God means reaching out and loving one's neighbor. And not just loving the neighbor that lives next door or loving the one who lives in your home, but loving the one who society might name as stranger. So if our text for today is to be taken as a companion piece, the message for us today is that doing without hearing is missing something too. Service without worship can be hollow as well. The business of the day cannot be so distracting that one misses out on God's presence and message, that one does not take time to hear God's word. The doing is necessary. The doing is important. The doing is part of God's call, but not at the expense of being with God. If we think about our churches today, if we think about ourselves and the friends with whom we surround ourselves, we might claim Martha as one of our own, wouldn't we? Martha would make a good Presbyterian. She is actively engaged in outreach. She likes to do things decently and in order, and she knows how to put together a good meal that serves many. And thank God for Martha. And thank God for the Marthas around us. Thank God for the Marthas who are us. We need Marthas. We need people who, through small and large acts, put their faith, put their love into action. We need the doers of the church, those with an attention to detail, those for whom no task is too large, those who can make room at the table for everyone. We need those who can identify the needs of their brothers and sisters in their local and global communities, and who can put together an action plan, who can respond to those needs generously and faithfully through love as work make visible. We need people who incarnate Christ's love, who put hands and feet to our faith. We need those here at ELPC who teach Sunday school and prepare our annual budget. We need those who make sure that the boiler is running, that the bulletin is printing, and that the newsletter goes out. We need those who coordinate teams to serve dinner at our homeless shelter. We need those who collect donations that go to Haiti in the form of healthcare kits, and who collect socks for men who are guests in the shelter. We need those who practice songs for our worship, who visit friends in our community when they are sick in their hospital beds. We need those who engage in prayer for others and for the world. We need to put our faith into action. But this text is a reminder to us. I say us, that hearing precedes doing. Our acts of love as work made visible, our acts of grateful response to God's word to us, to the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in our midst, that call us forth to serve with joy. In the midst of our shared ministry together, we need to take time in our daily lives as individuals, as a community, as a denomination, as a church, to sit at Jesus' feet. We need to listen. This listening is essential. It is essential for personal spiritual growth. For it is through that listening that we are strengthened for service. It is through that listening that we discern God's will for our lives. It is through this listening that we as a community are able to discern God's Spirit in our midst, calling us forward to do new things in Christ's name. If we are to be the people of faith that God is calling us to be, we must stop and listen. I know that on a personal level, this call may seem countercultural. This call may seem difficult. This call may seem impossible. Our society is fast-paced. We are instantly available through cell phones and Blackberries that both keep the world at our fingertips and keep us constantly at the beck and call of everyone around us. We are busy people at home and at work and at church. If nothing else, the economic recession has instilled in us a fear that if we are not overworking, we might lose the job that provides our health insurance and gives us the money to pay for our kids' clothes. But our worries are on a spiritual level too. With limited time, we don't want to sacrifice our mission or our outreach initiatives and just sit still. With limited energy, we want to make sure that we lift up the prayers of the needs of those around us even before we stop and listen to God's voice in our ears and to our hearts. We are afraid that if we just don't do what we need to do, God's grace might not be sufficient for us. But this call is for us as individuals to carve out time each day or week to center ourselves in prayer, to quiet our hearts and listen, to submit ourselves before God's word and study scripture, to let Jesus, our teacher and our friend, transform our lives and renew our spirits that we might be strengthened for service together. At a congregational level, this gospel cannot be more timely. Together, we are engaging in a strategic visioning process through which we are seeking God's guidance for our journey together, that our doing might be led by our hearing of God's word, of God's call in our midst, and that our actions might faithfully respond to God's call. Just last week at our session meeting, elders pushed back the tables around which we sit to do business decently and in order, pulled our chairs in front of these tables and sat in a circle where together we engaged in a time of prayer, a time of silence, a time of sharing how God has been at work in our lives and sharing some of those measures on our hearts that help us to discern together how God is working in our midst and calling us onward. We, as a community, are called to follow Session's example, to pull our chairs in a circle together and be at prayer with one another, to share how God is at work in the midst of our individual lives and in the midst of our congregation so that we might together move forward into God's vision for us with the help of the Spirit. This is a charge before our denomination too. Just last week after returning from GA, Pastor Randy spoke of measures that are being sent back to presbyteries and sent back to congregations for ongoing prayer, study, and discernment. Matters around ordination standards so that veils and boundaries might be dissolved and so that all who are called to serve God faithfully and joyfully can be ordained to God's service. There are opportunities for us in the coming 2 years to pray and work together around peacemaking initiatives and overtures to change the definition of marriage in our Constitution. We as a denomination are called to be in prayer, to listen for God's word, to hear Christ's voice. If we don't seek God's direction, if we don't quiet ourselves and listen to God's voice, will be all that much more difficult for us to live into this call. I don't know about you, but this passage sure challenges me. I have Martha inclinations. I don't know about you. Yet I also hear this passage as a word of invitation, a word of invitation to all of us to come and sit at Christ's feet. I hear from Jesus an invitation for even the least and unlikely to come and sit at his feet and be his disciple. And I hear an invitation for all of us Marthas out there to have that permission to slow down just a little, to take a few minutes out of every day and include a time of silence, a time of centering prayer, a time of obedient listening to come before Christ and sit at his feet. We are invited to create this space for prayer and meditation, to enter into the being of our faith, even as we engage in the doing of our faith. Hearing and doing go hand in hand. Fred Craddock writes, "There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment." And this is the part I like. He says, if we were to ask Jesus which example applies to us, he would probably answer, yes. Brothers and sisters, let us go and do likewise. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, let us enter into a time of prayer. And at the conclusion, we will recite and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you have called us into this sacred space to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord God, that as we sit in what is the cocoon of this grand structure, we are reminded of what a great and marvelous God you are. How your mercies are new each and every morning. And as we lift our voices in praise, we are reminded that we should praise you just because you are so worthy. Lord God, we realize that there are times when we fall short because we are so busy doing. Most of us, Lord God, have a Martha spirit. We're plugged in and connected, and yet we're disconnected from our brothers and sisters. We're disconnected from our true power source, which is you. So we ask your forgiveness, and we ask, Lord God, that you would enable us to hear, to sit and to listen, to discern our brothers and sisters who are crying out in sickness, in despair. Lord God, those who have lost loved ones and are grieving, Lord, enable us to hear their cries. We pray, Lord God, that you would enable us to see all of those who lack the basic needs of living, to see those who don't have the support that they need, to see those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we also pray that you would enable us to speak words of compassion and encouragement to those who have grown weary, and kind words to those who need just a friendly hello, a smile, an acknowledgement that they are one of your children. And then, Lord, we pray for the ability to act with compassion, to act to show your love forth to all those we encounter, to act and to be an example of what Jesus would do here on earth. Lord, you are our source and you are our strength. And it is in you that we move, breathe, and have our very being. So we pray, Lord God, that you would infuse our spirits so that we would be the people that you are calling us to be in this day and age. That we would become unplugged, unconnected to everything except for you. Lord, we thank you for your Son who came to teach us how to be your children, to teach us how to act with compassion and love, to show us what it means to be a child of God. And so we lift our voices in prayer this morning, praying as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.